Yeah, no, you certainly don't flush it because there's a lot to learn. I mean, we have to understand how the game went, how they played us, what the schemes were. There's a lot of chess moves going on in that game that will be built on this game on both sides of the ball. And yeah, of course, the way the game is played, what we could have done better, certainly, what we did well. Same for them, I'm sure, too.
John Harbaugh, Ravens coming in a couple days. And we'll kick off Sunday Night Football. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy game week. We've been kind of into it. The season starts tomorrow with the Eagles and Cowboys from Philadelphia. They're going to raise the banner, and the Eagles say they didn't know about it.
Didn't know about it, or they're just not going out on the field for it? Because they're not going to be out there, right?
Sirianni says he didn't know about it.
He didn't know they were going to have a banner raising?
He did not know what was happening.
Interesting.
To the Western Hotline, let's check in on the Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens, joining us here and writing at Ravens Wire. Kevin, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I'm glad football's back. I'm glad we can have these conversations, and certainly looking forward to that divisional round rematch on Sunday night.
Yeah, the divisional round rematch. You know, around here, Kevin, it's a lot about Bills and Chiefs because they've lost a couple of playoff games. A couple. To the Chiefs. Here are the Ravens that have lost a couple playoff games in the divisional round of the Bills. How much do you feel like this building, budding rivalry that's also kind of a shared existence, right? You have a stud quarterback and have yet to appear in a Super Bowl. It's a heck of a matchup for week one.
Yeah, certainly a lot of similarities between the two teams for sure. And I think that, you know, the Ravens went through this last season in terms of going to the place of the team that knocked them out of the playoffs. They did that with Kansas City last season. They lost by Isaiah Likely's toe. Now, unfortunately, Isaiah Likely from Baltimore side of things is, Ian Rappaport reported, unlikely to play in this game. But, you know, it gives, from a Ravens perspective, an opportunity for them to, you know, the whole notion of a revenge game here, it doesn't really sit right with me. I don't think it's a revenge game. I mean, if there were to be one of those for the Ravens, it'd be in the playoffs. This is the regular season. Now, that doesn't mean it's not important. That does not mean it's not important. I mean, we know that the Ravens had a couple losses last season to teams like the Raiders, teams like the Browns, that if they had won that game, one of those games, it would have been Buffalo traveling to Baltimore. Now, of course, the Bills are much better than those teams. But these games early in the season, I know a lot of people, if you start 0-1, it's like, oh, it's your 0-1. You know, you can bounce back, which is true. But September losses don't matter in September, but they certainly do matter in December when you're fighting for playoff seeding. So for both teams, a fast start's important, and this game in week one is one of the most important of them all.
Yeah, it's big for the one seed, for sure. How do you in Baltimore view the playoff game? I think around here it's that the Bills got through it. They didn't do a ton on offense. They got the turnovers, which is a big reason why they didn't need to do more on offense. How do you and how does Baltimore view how that game went, and maybe who do they feel like the Ravens should have won and it was just a drop at the end that kind of cost them?
Yeah, I think the thing is that, you know, the Bills did enough to win the game. Like, you know, they didn't have turnovers. The Ravens did. They held on to the ball. They executed better in certain spots. I think the notion throughout most of Baltimore is that the Ravens really beat themselves in that game. And, you know, I think a lot of people would want to have seen it be more of a, okay, let's go and line it up without the turnovers. But you know what? The Bills forced them. And the Ravens, they didn't capitalize on opportunities. They started really slow. The defense also didn't force turnovers. I mean, it's not like Josh had one of his, like, signature 300 passing yard and 100 rushing yard games or something along those lines, like just torched the Ravens defense. But the Ravens defense struggled early in the game. And, you know, like everybody points to the Lamar interception early or the fumble or the Mark Andrews fumble, the 2-point conversion, which, you know, are huge turning points in the game. And look, you can't do that against a team like Buffalo, because even if they don't go out there and put up, you know, 35 points on you, and that didn't happen in this game, they still are going to be able to capitalize on that, and that's exactly what they did. The Bills did what they were supposed to do when the Ravens faltered the way that they did. So, you know, I know that a lot of people think, oh, this game is going to be like it's regular season, so that means it's going to be a carbon copy of week four last year. No, I don't believe that's the case. I think this will be a closer game than that was. I think it will honestly look a little more like the playoff game, but you know, to me, I think that the Bills did their job and the Ravens didn't, and that's kind of what it came down to.
How much did that game shape the narrative of the offseason for Baltimore?
I think it did pretty heavily. Obviously, for the Ravens and, you know, Lamar Jackson and his legacy, and Josh has his own, you know, playoff legacy, and that is a guy that can, you know, perform in the playoffs. But for both quarterbacks, they have not been able to get to the Super Bowl. And is it kind of mentioned that both teams trying to get over that Patrick Mahomes mountain, and the Ravens for the two losses they've had to Buffalo in the divisional round in Buffalo. For the Ravens offseason, there were always going to be, you know, additions they'd be able to make and draft picks they'd be able to get and all that. Free agency wasn't a huge, they didn't lose a ton of people, but you know, all offseason has kind of just been that same repeated question of can they get the job done in the postseason when it matters? And, of course, they've beaten teams in the playoffs. You know, this isn't like Justin Herbert, who hasn't won in the postseason or any of those, and Lamar is better than Justin Herbert. But, you know, to me, I think that you just hear over and over, and, you know, I'm sure it was tough for Mark to have to go through that all offseason and kind of hear that narrative. And, you know, it's something that they have put on themselves. That's how I kind of put it. They have earned this narrative that is being talked about around them of, oh, hey, this is a great regular season team. They're going to win double-digit games every single season, probably win the division. But, you know, in the postseason, they might win a game, but then they get to a team like Kansas City or Buffalo or one of those top upper echelon teams, and the Ravens are one of those two. But they get into one of those heavyweight matchups, and, you know, all of a sudden they can't get the job done. So they're going to hope to right that wrong this season, but they're going to have to deal with that narrative that, you know, I think was forged by what happened last season.
You mentioned it was a little bit of a quiet offseason. What across the whole roster, what would you say is the biggest difference between the Ravens from what we last saw and what we'll see on Sunday night?
Yeah, I think just improved depth overall and replacing pieces that didn't really help them last year. I mean, the secondary got upgraded in a big way. I mean, second half of the season last year, after that second Cincinnati game, the Ravens had a closed-door meeting. Their pass defense was atrocious, and they ended up pulling together. They're one of the best pass defenses in the league from the second half of the year on. They go and replace Marcus Williams with Malachi Starks in the draft. They signed Jair Alexander to replace Brandon Stevens, who went to the Jets. And then Jobe Awuzie, they brought in over a guy like an Eddie Jackson. So, you know, you have a lot more depth there. At the time we're having this conversation, it's unclear whether Jair will play in week one or not. He's dealing with a knee injury, which, you know, unfortunately for him, has kind of been the story of his career in terms of injuries. Great player, but unfortunately hasn't been able to necessarily stay on the field as much as he'd like to. But I think, you know, the secondary being revamped, and that's alongside guys like Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, and Nate Wiggins. You look on the offensive side of the ball, not a ton of change there, for being honest. I mean, the biggest change there is, honestly, you bring in DeAndre Hopkins to be your number three receiver over Nelson Aguilar, which I think is an upgrade. He's not prime D-hop or anything, but I do think that he provides a pretty decent upgrade there. It really is going to be on the defensive side of the ball for Baltimore this season. They're emphasizing turnovers. They lost Michael Pierce to retirement, which in my opinion was their biggest loss of the offseason, but they're going to try to replace him with John Jenkins or some combination of guys on that D-line. So, I mean, yeah, it was a quiet offseason compared to, I think, other teams around the league. They didn't lose a ton. They gained a decent amount of talent, but they didn't go out there and spend like $100 million like the Patriots did or anything like that. But still, they made moves they needed to, and I think it puts them in a better spot.
Kevin Ostreicher with us from Locked On Ravens on the Western Hotline. Rappaport's reporting that it's not expected that Isaiah Likely will play on Sunday night. How big a loss is that for them in this game in particular? He led them in receiving in the playoff game. Also, was there talk of a contract with him before the year, and did the injury interrupt that?
I'm not sure if the injury interrupted or not. I don't have information on what happened there. I had seen some rumblings that something could have happened, but, you know, clearly we're here a couple of days before week one and that has not happened yet. I mean, it's a big loss for them for sure. I don't think a lot of people in Baltimore were expecting to play, and I guess that, you know, he's not officially out until he's officially out, but this was kind of the expected outcome here. He broke his foot pretty early on in training camp. He had to have surgery for it, and generally that recovery timeline is around 1 to 2 months. So, you know, it helps no one if you're the Ravens and if you're Isaiah Likely, if he gets thrown out there at 75% health. I mean, he's not the player we know he can be. There's high risk for injury. It's just, it's not worth it. So I don't expect him to play. That this report from Ian Rappaport tracks here, and I think that they can survive it still. I mean, obviously Mark Andrews is one of the biggest conversation points of this matchup in week one. So you still have him. You still have Charlie Kohler. You can also run a little bit more 3-4 wide receiver sets if you want to, but you can also lean on the run game a little more too. I mean, you can run the ball with Derrick Henry a little bit, see if you can get something going there. I know that generally Derrick Henry's not been the best against Buffalo in his career, but you know, he's had a couple of those big games, including one that we saw last season, so maybe Baltimore feels that they can get out to a fast start there. Likely someone that brings you a lot of dynamic ability. You know, he's improved as a blocker a lot over the course of his career at that tight end position, and of course, with him and his athletic receiving ability, I mean, he's a do-it-all player for the offense. But I think a lot of people, they're writing Mark Andrews off, and it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, so of course, last impression they've had of Mark was that unfortunate sequences against the Bills. I still think he's a top five tight end in the league. I mean, he's still really, really good. So I think that you can still rely on him, rely on Charlie Kohler, and get away with not having Likely on the field, although, of course, Likely adds a whole different element to their offense in general.
Yeah, Andrews had a crazy, because it started right with we were just talking about how he got in a car crash before the season, and then he was like weirdly wasn't at practice in the slow start. Like, did that really affect even, like, it ended obviously in a crazy way for him with the drops, but him starting the year really not being a factor, how much of that was injuries? I mean, he's only 29, so I don't know if we should be expecting like this to be, you know, it for him.
No, he still has good football left, and it was a weird start to the year. I'm sure that had something to do with it, and it's particularly just an example of in week one where the Chiefs specifically schemed him out of the game, which is why Isaiah ended up having the game that he had, and obviously could have had a better game had his toe got in bounds at the end there, but there were games early on where Mark was just not a factor because teams weren't letting him be a factor. And, you know, part of that I'm sure had to do with kind of recovery and the whole nine yards, but you know, that's kind of the presence there. And that's why Likely and Andrews together are kind of this dangerous duo here, is because both of them don't need to go for like 75 yards and a touchdown every single game to be effective. I mean, you have to cover them. And that's why I think it's kind of like a pick your poison offense here for the Ravens, where we know Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry dynamic. We also know that Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins is a great wide receiver trio. And then you add the tight ends into that, and it's like, who are you leaving one-on-one? You know, that's kind of the decision that you have to make. So you can scheme certain guys out of games. You can try to make guys ineffective. You can cloud coverage. You can do the whole nine yards. But, you know, in that offense, you're going to have to leave a guy one-on-one. It's up to that guy to win that matchup. But, you know, out of all those players, is that Isaiah Likely when he's healthy? You know, I think that's not something that Buffalo's going to have to worry about because Likely won't be on the field. But, you know, Andrews is a guy that still has a lot of good football left ahead of him. He's still very dynamic. He and Lamar Jackson, you know, they have some of the best chemistry in the league with all of the opportunities they've had together. So at the end of the day, I think that for Mark, it was a tough start to the year. He ended up leading the team in touchdowns. Yeah, so it ended up being a decently good season for him. But obviously, I think the next step for him is that postseason success.
Very good. Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens ahead of Bills Ravens. Kevin, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the time, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks so much.
As part of the Sunday night game, there will not be, I don't believe there will be a flyover. Because civil twilight.
Yeah. Mm.
So they could do one earlier. Of course, last year was the year we got into flyover radio, started talking to the pilots that are out there, and our buddy Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Abels, who usually sets us up with whoever, gives me a phone number, I get a call. We had such a good time learning about the planes and all that. Do not expect one Sunday. I've learned of civil twilight. That is a period of atmospheric brightness after sunset.
Yeah.
Or before sunrise. No more than 6 degrees below the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Once that passes, you can't fly a plane over a stadium without, like, you know, right. I don't know, the president has to say it. Anyway, so expecting no flyover because it would be a little bit too late. However, there's going to be a drone show.
At the game?
Yes. Sunday night.
Really?
There is a drone show.
Wow, this is exciting. I did not know this.
The Bills will light up the sky for a drone show. The Bills have announced they'll be holding a drone show during halftime. Yes. Halftime.
Oh, okay. That's still good. Yeah. Still good.
The show is scheduled to be 8 minutes long, Bills-themed drone formations over Highmark Stadium. The show is titled Sunday Night Lights at Highmark Stadium and the first ever drone show at Highmark.
I think that's going to be sweet.
It's weather compliant. It needs to be whatever, weather dependent. Apparently they had one last year that got canceled because of weather. So,
okay.
Yeah. Sunday Night Lights, halftime drone show.
Have you looked at what the weather looks like for Sunday and Sunday night?
Give me an E-L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Perfect night.
It is going to be. So I'll give you the whole thing. The high on the day is 63.
I mean, what's not to love?
The low is 47.
Even better.
But it appears as though around kickoff and during the game, we're talking low 50s.
Pants and a hoodie? Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Of all the Bills gear you own, you're out there listening. We like our jerseys. Put a jersey over a hoodie. You got good hoodies to wear. You've got much more gear that's fall-based if you've got Bills gear.
Sure.
I wore a Bills hoodie here today that I can only wear when it's a little bit cooler out.
If it's hot, you got like jersey and shorts is like all you can really do.
And sometimes when you're doing a jersey with short sleeves underneath, the jersey feels a little weird on your arms. Is that just me?
No, yeah, okay. a little bit.
All right.
The sleeves are long, right?
A little longer than a normal
T-shirt.
Then you get two different feelings. Anyway, 803-0550. My Twitter poll about the Ravens score 29 points. Who wins the game?
Mm-hmm.
The results have moved.
Okay.
Early on, the Bills were leading. They'll win the game. If the Ravens score 29, it was like 53%. Bills win.
Yep.
It has shifted. A 5-point swing. Ravens are in the lead in the poll.
Wow.
So, got 700 votes in. The Ravens score 29. Who wins? Nick comments, is the Ravens defense good? I would answer, I don't know, but last year in this game, the Bills had 4 yards per play against this Ravens defense. They did not have a great offensive day at all.
I mean, we've heard it from Joe Marino earlier, and we just heard it from Kevin a little bit. Their secondary is a lot better. There might be a linebacker you can go after.
Okay. A Kincaid day.
They have awesome safeties.
Maybe a Kincaid day. Yeah, we'll see how Malachi Starks.
We'll see how Starks is, I guess.
Yeah, but Kyle Hamilton's awesome.
I would expect they have a good defense. I don't know if they'll have the best defense because they have a couple weaknesses, but like, yeah, they should have a good defense.
Yep.
I think I'd vote Ravens.
29 points will be enough?
Yeah, I think 29's enough. Maybe only by a little bit. But I bet it would just be enough. It depends. Like, we didn't really see what the Bills. Like, if the Bills had to score in that game in the divisional round, what could they have done? Because they played very conservative.
Yeah.
They played to bleed the clock and to play it safe and to they played the game plan they wanted to play, which was we're not going to give them the ball. We get ahead and we're going to milk it. And that's what they did. And it worked. What happens if that didn't? What happens if the Ravens will turn the ball over and the Bills have to go toe to toe?
Well,
because they did score a touchdown on three of their first four drives, and then it all started to go away.
Right.
So could they have kept going? I think
after going up 21-10, the Bills went punt, punt, field goal, end of game.
Right, like they did. They
were also not very good at milking the clock. To start the second half, three and out.
Yeah, tough.
Second drive, 6 plays, 18 yards, punt. What'd they punt from? What yard line is that? 4th and 5 at the Buffalo 48.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Field goal. 10 plays, 37 yards.
Now that's a good milking it drive.
It's only 4:30.
10 of 37.
Right.
10 for 37.
In the fourth quarter, they took 10 minutes off the clock on two drives that went 10 plays, 37 yards and 11 plays, 52 yards.
So 21 plays for 92 yards? In those two drives combined?
89 yards.
89 yards?
22 plays for 89 yards.
You got your plays in.
You got them,
that's
right.
You got a lot of plays in. You move the chains. But again, that's very different than when Baltimore's got 27. They don't have 20 or 19. They got they got 27, and you got to keep going. You got to swing with them. What does that look like? Because I think that's more likely on Sunday.
They have to get their shots.
They're going to have to, yeah. You are not going to get away with. They took one shot down the field to Khalil Shakir on the first drive, and go look at Josh Allen's pass chart from that game. Nothing else. Everything else is around the line of scrimmage. And I would predict in this game that they're going to have to find a couple more down the field. You got to get a couple big plays.
803-0550. 1-888-552-550. I had something I was just going to mention to you. Oh, I know what it was. Speaking of the Ravens and, you know, the whole stadium stuff, they just released yesterday, Baltimore did, that at their stadium, 11 items are $5 and less at concessions.
Love that.
Yeah.
Couple teams have done that. Atlanta does that too.
My favorite thing about this, they put out a graphic. My favorite thing about this graphic the Ravens put out, flock-friendly fare is what it's called. 11 items under $5. You've got your nachos, hot dog, pretzel, french fries, peanuts, blackbird chips, popcorn. A 12-ounce beer is $5 at a football game. 24-ounce wow. soda, 20-ounce water, $3.49. But here's my favorite. Barbecue chicken sando is what it says. A barbecue chicken sando, $4.99.
Wow.
Is sando just a, man, it's a Japanese-style sandwich. So barbecue chicken sando, $5. Come on.
Family of four, $38. Four hot dogs, two popcorns, two pretzel bites, two waters, two beers.
$38?
For $38.
That's on their menu?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's nuts.
Good for them.
Right. Their the giant popcorn, $1.99.
Amazing. I mean, popcorn's pretty cheap.
It should be $1.99.
Yes, it should. Yes,
$7 at some events.
803-0550 on the Bills and the Ravens if you want it. And the NFL season opens tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.